So as you get seated now that as a family, that while we're here on earth, we're the body of Christ, we Christians. Now when we go to heaven, we're family of God. The family of God is both in heaven and earth. The body of Christ is just on earth. And the scripture for it, but that's not my message tonight. I'll have to bring it some other time. But I was reading from our pastor back when we were in Tulsa, Bob Yandy, and he doesn't say something that he doesn't have all kinds of scripture to tell you. But isn't that something? And there's a scripture that says, the family of God, both in heaven and earth. So we have the family. But it doesn't refer to those that are in heaven as the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ here on the earth. And that's something, anyway, that was extra. That was totally extra. But it gets us to thinking the importance of reading the word and paying attention. You know, that's why I think it's good. Even though not all translations may be all literally from the Greek and so on, but it's good, you know, to read different translations sometimes, because we can get so used to a script that we read it and we pass through certain things, we don't even get the message, you know. Not that we intend to, but you know, that's why we have to guard ourselves so much. The Holy Spirit brought it up today as we were in prayer. We have to guard ourselves very open-eyed to not allow the influence of religious spirits, you know what I mean, religious thinking. Which is unbelief, equals unbelief. Just because it has been, you know, ideas that sound religious, that sound really good, but they really don't have Bible base. But we've gotten used to them, and we equate them to Bible. Excuse me? Yeah, that's dangerous. We have to be aware of that. We get to be. Get to be. Anyway, let's pray and start tonight. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you so much for your holy written word. Thank you for the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus, you were true to your word. You departed, but you sent us another one just like you. The Holy Spirit, who is to be with us forever, who opens the eyes of our understanding, who draws us closer to you if we allow him, who leads and guides us to all the truth because we do desire him to do it. And so we thank you tonight that you will open our eyes to see things in scriptures clearer than ever before. And we will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can get blessed by a prayer. I think I'm already enough blessed. I'm going to go home now. Glory. Well, that is just to prepare you for Joe Morris. I've been praying for him, and so, see, I got a Joe Morris going on. Oh, praise the Lord. Those of you that have never heard him before, you're in for a treat. And we're believing God that the prophet ministry is going to be in demonstration, not just the teacher. Amen? But he's a He's a prophet gift, and we want the prophet gift to be in demonstration in our midst. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Well, the week before, I ended with to where Pastor said I was going to go on, but Pastor said, "Come, cliffhanger." That's the word. With a cliffhanger, so we're going to go back. You know, do any of you remember the cliffhanger? Oh, no shame, because there's no shame. But maybe. No, nothing about it. It was not the Holy Spirit. It was an end times question. Yeah? Well, you're the closer one, nobody else. You even remember. Do you? Somebody's almost remembering. Okay, I'm not going to be hard on you. We're going to get back. So, actually, what we did the last time, we were talking about redemption from the curse, if you remember. But we really took a tangent because we covered the seven dispensations. We went to Hebrews, and go there with me, Hebrews 1. Okay, because I have here all my notes from the beginning of that message. And there's a lot that I have not covered. But I like these notes. They're good. They're Bible notes. So I have them right here in case the Holy Spirit moves me that way. I told Pastor Jim 2 weeks ago, that I felt like our wonderful friend from whom we have learned so much throughout the years, Pastor Mark Brzee, that he always says that he starts talking and he's got different directions in his spirit and he sees where he's going to land. You know, where it's like there's different, so let's see where this plane is going to land. But that's how I felt 2 weeks ago. So Hebrews 1, we started there with verse 1. If you remember, we'll just go through this quickly. How that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, and we saw how that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the apostle Peter is ministering to the people, he is quoting the prophet Joel, and he is talking about, because Joel is prophesying about what will happen in the last days. And so now the apostle Peter in Acts 2, after the first Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues, and they prophesied, and people thought that they were drunk, remember? He said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke of in the last days. And he talks about in the last days that the sons and the daughters are going to prophesy. And the old men will see visions. Dream dreams. The young ones will have the visions. So we're still young because we're having visions. Glory to God. Amen. And dreams. Anyway, so we're in between. So the last days, then we know. See, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So in other words, the last days refer to the days of the church. And because I brought that up, and because we were talking about redemption from the curse of the law, it just seemed right to me to be, and I was led of the Holy Ghost to talk about the dispensations. And so the Old Testament covers five dispensations. I'm just, for those of you that were not here 2 weeks ago, I'm going to go real fast. The first one is the dispensation of innocence. And that covers Genesis 1 to Genesis 3. See, that is before the fall. So the dispensation of innocence begins when God created Adam till the fall. Then the second one is the dispensation of conscience. Now these, talking about the seven dispensations, this is something that is embraced by denominations at large. So if you come from another denomination, don't think that we came up with it. No, this is something that has been taught and studied in seminaries all over. Okay? The dispensation of conscience, that one ends at the flood, Noah's flood. Then number three, human government. And that dispensation ends with the language confusion of the Tower of Babel. Okay? So if you would put Hebrews 1:1, you see how that starts making more sense. Who at sundry times, in past times, that's what it means, and in diverse manners, in different types of manners, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. So he spoke to the fathers, to those that were before, by the prophets in different ways, because they were different dispensations. Okay, so then after the human government is the number four, is the dispensation of promise. And that one is the promise that God gave to Abraham. Now, God started something supernatural. He created something supernatural, choosing Abraham out of humanity. And from Abraham, he created the people that we call the Jews. The Jews had never existed before. But God started them with Abraham, you know, and historians and teachers, students of the Bible will tell you, out of Abraham came out two different groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. He had two sons. From one, the lineage of the Jews continued. But from the other, it was a Gentile lineage. And did you know, even you look at Isaac, Isaac had two sons. Jacob really was with Jacob that then we know as the Jews, the 12 tribes. But Esau went the Gentile way. And so you wonder, why is that? Because it was not about a race. It was about a people of faith. It was about a people that adhered to the covenant of promise that had been given to Abraham. You see, praise God. That's why the body of Christ today has people of all tonalities and languages. Amen. But we're one race of people. Hallelujah. And when we're Christian, we're born again. Some have the tan on their own, and others lay out in the sun and put things together to acquire it. Amen? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. I know about that. We used to put olive oil on ourselves, my friends and I. You could have fried an egg. Anyway, okay, that's another story. Praise God. So the dispensation of promise, that was the promise by faith that was given to Abraham. You read through all that time, and what a time. What a time in history. Well, you know, Abraham is called the father of our faith. And it's so long ago, you know, before Jesus came to the picture and died for us and was raised from the dead. But the Apostle Paul brought scriptures, examples about Abraham and taught faith, because Abraham knew God. He knew him personally, walked with him intimately. You know, true faith depends on that more than anything else, on intimacy with God. That is where the birth of true faith is. Intimacy with God. Glory to God. It is not hard to believe on one whom you know personally. When he is God and he's all that he is, you know. So, but anyway, going back here, because I want to go on to another tangent. The fifth dispensation is the dispensation of the law. So, after the people of promise, they forgot about the promise. They went into captivity, remember, 400 years. Then God said, let my people go free through Moses. And God gave Moses the law. And so we come there to read the law. So Deuteronomy 28 tells us the blessings and the curses of the law, right? But one thing, thank you, Lord, for reminding me, that we have Galatians 3:13, because now we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So the law, this dispensation of the law, it lasted, actually, it ended at the cross. The dispensation of the law was a real long one. It ended with a cross. Hallelujah. And you can say the cross of the resurrection. No, it was the cross, because you see, you remember the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. I'm getting ahead of myself because of other subject we're going to go into. But Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? The dispensation of the law. Not under the law anymore. And like he was saying, and we said the last time, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And then the dispensation of grace began. Or the dispensation of the last days. Or dispensation of the church. And then the seventh dispensation is the millennium. You see, the church age, or the age of grace, will end at the rapture. Amen? That's when it will end, at the rapture. Praise God. Well, we were talking about redemption from the curse. We're not under the curse. To tell you the truth, if we would get this revelation, what we receive from God today does not depend on any of our works. What happens is that we have been indoctrinated by religious thinking. And you say, Pastor Lydia, you're saying that let sin abound? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it depends on the work that Jesus accomplished at the cross. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed. We don't have to live sick and tormented. I'm talking not just physically, but mentally and otherwise, emotionally. And we don't have to be lacking. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to live worried. We don't have to live in anxiety. Amen. These are the last days. I read this from a Happy Caldwell. He posted that today. And he said, these are the last days. We're living in the last days. The last of the last days. But we don't have to be afraid. Amen. We don't have to be afraid. Glory to God. No matter what you may hear, all kinds of things. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes and rejoice. Because it's got to get better. You know, for us, glory to God. And you know what? And I believe that the Lord is going to allow all of us that want to bring more people to the Lord than we have ever brought. Right before we're raptured. I have committed that to the Lord. I want that. Amen. So after the church age ends, because I got myself there and I thought, okay, I want to minister on how to receive, on receiving from the Lord, receiving your healing. But I got there, and then I had some questions asked me by some people privately. And I thought, I want to answer those questions. If some people ask them, it means that others are not asking them, and they might have thought about them, you know. And so because of Joel Morris coming, I'm going to use today, and then we'll see after he leaves, if the Lord sees, you know, if he leads me to continue in teaching some of these things. But we're going to talk about the rapture and about the resurrection of our bodies. And so the question that I posed, that pastor says come back, was this. I had been asked by two different people. So what happens when somebody dies and they go to heaven? You know, what part of them goes to heaven? I was asked that. I was even asked, are the Catholics right after all? You know, because of purgatory. They were confused with the scripture that says let's go there. And so is that okay if I use today to bring this up? So go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. You see, we have taught about all these things. We teach them. But we teach them at funerals, but most of you don't come to funerals. So we've done a lot of that teaching, but you know, unless you were close to somebody, you may come to one here and there, but the questions you might have had were not answered. Or maybe you were serving, you were preparing to serve in the other, you know, and sometimes families that are being affected by a loved one that has died, they're not really able to listen. You know, emotions rule. You understand? We understand. We get it. No fault finding. Okay? So, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Did I already said 13? This is the scripture that has, I think, confused some people. And notice that is a scripture that starts by saying, I would not have you to be ignorant. So if the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of that, we ought not to be ignorant. Amen? So I pray that today you're going to get it. So you don't have to be ignorant anymore. Okay? So it says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And so this was what has confused some people. They're asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And so, you know, we'll continue. We'll read more scripture. But let me stop there and explain these. The word asleep here in the New Testament is a reference to the death of the Christians. Now, sinners, when sinners die, you look through the Bible, they're said to be dead. But when it is referred to Christians dying, either you will find the phrase dead in Christ, or the, you know, there's a scripture that it says, blessed is the death of God's saints. Or that right here in the scripture that they're asleep. This is not soul sleep. This is the body. Okay? The body. It's called asleep because one day it's going to be resurrected. You see, so when our loved ones that died in Christ, their bodies were buried, all right? Or like it has become the custom in the, you know, as of late, more and more that people are cremated. Don't ask me, or if you would want to ask me. I have studied about that. The Bible does have some examples of some people that were burnt. King Saul was, because he was, but it's not put really in a very good light, but he was. He and others that died with him, they were dismembered and so on, and they were just burnt. You read that in the Bible. I read that today, in fact, again, to make sure. But to tell you the truth, did you know, really, the Catholic Church is against it. Some groups now are permitting it among them. But I'm not putting anybody, you know, because let me tell you, if there's Christians whose bodies were buried in a casket, or just the whole body, and they're already turned to dust, because it happened a long time ago. Okay, so whether they were turned to dust or they were buried just a week before the rapture will happen or the day before, they're still going to be raised. Amen? Their bodies are going to become a resurrected body. It's not going to be a natural body. We're only having our natural body now. But in this natural body, we could not live eternally. And we're going to see that. This body is corruptible. But when in the rapture, okay, it's going to take incorruption. So it's going to be a supernatural body. We're going to see scripture. Okay, I'm preaching to you a little bit, but I'm going to show you scripture because people have asked me so. So how do people recognize each other in heaven? They've asked me that, and there's no dumb question. I have been asked. So, you know, we've heard of people that have had visions gone to heaven, and they've seen their loved ones there. How did they recognize them? You see, we're so attached to these bodies. But the real you is your spirit. Your inner person, your inner man, your spirit and your soul. Your spirit and your soul. When you are a child of God and this body ceases to function, instantly you go on to be with the Lord. The body remains. And the body is buried, whether cremated or not, you know. Am I okay? Hesitate to say something because I don't want to get people under condemnation. I'm not preaching Bible here, I'm preaching preference. Because of the way that I was raised, I don't want to be cremated. I want my husband to spend all the money. No. No. Exactly. We're going together, that's right. No, I'm just making a joke there. But I'm not putting anybody down for whatever. Okay? Did you hear that? Did you understand what I said? Okay? That is not something that you have to do, but I think. I'm going to love everyone and not find fault one way or the other. You have, this I made it clear is my opinion. Preference, that's no Bible, don't write it down. Okay? The Bible is not in favor of it, but it's not against it either. All right? Some people are against it because they think it's all, it's pagan. But you see, there were some cases in the Bible in the Old Testament too. But it's true, when we went to India, the crematory is there 24/7. There was a crematory, remember, in front of Mother Teresa's House of Mercy, and smoke going on all the time because that's what the Hindu people do. Anyway, did I dig a big hole? But I brought this up because I get asked about it. Okay, I get asked about it privately. And so, you know, and people sometimes twist my arm till I give my own opinion. So there, whether I put my foot in my mouth or not, I told you. You've known me, most of you, for a long time. So what else is new, right? Anyway, praise the Lord. Let's come back to the scripture. So did I make that clear what the word asleep means? This sleep is not a soul sleep. There's, yes, sir, ma'am. Yeah. Exactly. And we're going to prove that with scripture. Yeah, very good to bring that there. You see, because people have said, well, how are we going to recognize each other? And that's where they bring us. That may be true, what Catholics think about purgatory. No, there's Bible reference. We go to be absent with the body. The Bible says it's to be present with the Lord. But you see, we're so attached to this physical body that we think that unless we have this physical body, we cannot recognize each other. But in heaven is a different atmosphere. It's a spiritual atmosphere. You see, the Bible, and we're going to see it talks about celestial bodies, about, you know, the spiritual bodies. But we have the promise of the resurrection. We have Bible to know that this body is one day going to be made incorruptible. Going to look better than what I have ever looked. Glory be to God. Amen. Even at my best, even when you knew me at my best, thank you, Jesus, he did. Or if you didn't, but he did. But that is in the past. But the resurrection is a real thing. So, but these tricks people, the sleep, these refers to the body. The body is put to sleep. Do you remember when Jesus raised that girl from the dead? And she said, she sleeps. And they didn't understand it. But you see, he raised her from the dead. She was not asleep anymore. So that word that he used is the same here. Is the body is asleep, but it's going to be resurrected. Okay? Praise God. Believers are spiritually alive, even when death of the body occurs. We have scripture that validates that not even death will separate us from God. Amen? So the separation from our loved ones that have gone on with the Lord is only temporary. You know, we miss them. And we do grieve when our loved ones go. The Bible says it doesn't say don't grieve. It says don't grieve like those that have no hope. Sorrow, no, don't give yourself to grief. We don't honor our loved ones by grieving. Grieving to no end. You know what I mean? But of course we miss them. Of course we shed tears. You know, especially those that have served and helped and been such an asset. The more of an asset that a person has been generally, you know, to the whole body, the more we miss them. I can't tell you how many times that we say we miss Brother Don Dederman. You know, we had to put the little tapes underneath because he was the one that engineered and knew to do it without any cheaters. You know, so anyway, let me not get sidetracked. Now, just to make this clear, the second coming will happen. So there's a difference between rapture and second coming. You all know that. The second coming, that is when Jesus actually will put foot on the earth. See, and the rapture, we're going to meet him in the air. And we're going to read now after verse 13 here, how that the rapture, those that are asleep, those that are dead in Christ, they're going to get their resurrected bodies first. But of course, all is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. So, but they're going to join Jesus first. You see, they're going to precede us. And then we are going to get together with them and then go. We're going to be out of here before the tribulation starts. The Bible says that we were not appointed to wrath. And tribulation is wrath. So if you think that some things have gone bad and they're going bad in the world, nothing like what those 7 years is going to be. But anyway, after that, then it's going to be the second coming. That Jesus actually will put his foot on the earth. And there's going to be new heaven and new earth. That's a study on its own. So if I got there, then I would really get sidetracked. We'll have to come back to it. So let's read verse 14. Yeah, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, see, remember those first words, do not be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. It says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen, that's what we're celebrating. All, you know, we're thinking of his death, all that he did for us, and his resurrection. We believe that. So it says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, those whose bodies are asleep, will God bring with him. For these we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, now this coming of the Lord is talking the rapture, okay, shall not prevent, or that word means precede, shall not precede them which are asleep. Okay, again, what is this sleeping talking about? The body, not the soul. The soul and the spirit depart from the body when we die. Amen? The spirit is what has been born again. The soul is our personality, which right now carries the nature of the flesh. But when we go to heaven, we won't have to contend with the flesh anymore. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. That's going to be wonderful. Amen. We're not going to be tempted to be irritated at anybody. That's going to be, we're all going to be just wonderful all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor looks at me funny. Anyway, where were we? We read 15, right? So we're not going to precede them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Oh, we already read this, right? No? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Notice, he's going to descend with a shout. It's not going to say that we're going to hear a shout. It's that he's going to come with a shout. And then with the voice of the archangel. We know that's referring to Michael, the archangel Michael. And with the trump of God. Hallelujah. I want to hear the trump of God, don't you? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice the expression dead in Christ, or those that are asleep. It's the same thing. It's the body. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Again, we know that they will proceed, the ones that have gone on already. But then we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. So it's going to happen just like that to where we'll catch up. You know, we'll go catch up and be next to our loved ones. Woo, there you are! to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen? So then let's go to another scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you, Lord. And here we're going to see a little bit more about the resurrected body, the resurrection of the body. Amen? Glory. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll first we're going to see verse 53, but then we'll go back with verse 35. But first we're going to see 53. And it says, what I was saying a while ago, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, this body in the best of its condition, in the best of total health, this body could not exist in heaven. Amen. So don't worry about people being out there and being just a vapor. See, we think of that. We think of, what is that ghost? Casper. When we think about us being a spirit. No, we're not Caspers. Yeah. She's too young. You thought she was too young for that. Yeah, me too. Anyway, whatever name they have for that today. Did you even know about Casper? Oh, you did? She's a baby. So, and we've got two babies there. Did you know about Casper too? All right, they're smart girls. Anyway, and you, did you know about, yeah, okay. You did too? Anyway, is your daddy saying he didn't know about Casper? Oh, no, he wasn't. But you hear about it. Anyway, I didn't watch it either. But, you know, I didn't live in the United States probably at that time. Anyhow, but you get that. We're not just a bunch of... It's that we have the mentality that is very limited. See, but the real use your spirit. When you know a person, you know, that's the difference between really knowing a person and just thinking you know them. It comes through intimacy, you get to know that person. You know? And that's why you get to the point that you're not moved, thank you, Jesus, you're not moved by the outside. But it's the inside that you truly are in love with. You see? So just to give a compare, just something that we can compare with in our minds as to, don't have to worry about not going to heaven and not knowing somebody just because their body is not attached. Amen? And so we're going to see these. First, okay, go to Philippians 3:20. Very quickly, I'm going to give you some scriptures about the Philippians 3:20. It says, for our conversation, now the word there, conversation, is better translated citizenship. The King James translated a conversation, but it's the word citizenship. Our citizenship, see where we belong. Our permanent address, our place of origin, our birthplace. Amen? Citizenship, our identity, where we get our identity from, is from heaven. Amen? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. See? Woo! Glory to God! He is able to make this mortal body become immortal. Hallelujah. We're going to be able to do. And see, we'll get to do that all throughout the millennium. I could go there. How many of you did? And if you didn't, then you get to do it this time. But how many of you bought this book and read it? Because one thing I'll tell you, also I'll tell on myself, one thing is to have books. The other thing is to read them. I don't know if you know that. One thing is to buy them, and the other thing is to actually read them from cover to cover. Am I the only one that... Yeah. That can relate to that, right? This book is excellent. And he talked, there's a chapter there about the millennium, and there's, you know, rapture, tribulation, and so on, so forth. Now, what I'm bringing you, I didn't get it out of here, but I have read the book, and I know that all that I'm not saying anything that he's going to contradict. Because we learn from the same, you know, from the same root. But in the millennium, there'll be people here on the earth, natural people. But we will have bodies like Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. And remember, he was able to go through walls. And we can eat if we want to. We don't have to eat. We don't want to. Well, our bodies will not be under physical laws. That'll be interesting about how mobile that we'll still be, you know. But we will. I mean, we'll be active. We'll do things. The thing about it is that we will need to exercise, like Steve was saying, for our health, because we will have incorruptible bodies. Glorified bodies. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I asked Joe Morris one time, do you think that we'll be tall once we get? He says, no, I don't think so. Okay. Well, the Lord loves people of all heights. Amen. So that's okay. We'll be tall in the inside. but our bodies will be glorified. Praise God. Hallelujah. But our weight will be proportioned. I don't know how he will look this time, his physical body, that is. But I get a kick of what he says. There's nothing wrong with my weight. It's just my height doesn't correspond to it. He's funny. Anyway, so let's go to another scripture, Colossians 3:4. I'm having too much fun and not going where I should go. This is a reference to the rapture. And this scripture is wonderful. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So we'll have the glorified body like he got. Thank you, Lord. So 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, you're there, everybody? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, we are called, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So we have this hope in him, glory to God, that will be like him, will have glorified bodies like him. In this body, no one can see God. But in our glorified bodies, we will. You see, that's why the body cannot go yet until it is glorified. So then Romans 8, verse 22. Hallelujah. I want to get to I'm looking at, I'm fighting the clock. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Did you know that's what happens to the earth? Things that are happening here and there. You know, somebody was saying that they had snow in somewhere, that they were in Arizona. And somebody was saying, you know, there's just different weather patterns and, you know, and things. By the way, I heard this taped recording of the founder of the Weather Channel, who said he made that statement. A scientist, meteorologist, that there was no such thing as global warming. Anyway, passing through, let's go back. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This is what the scripture says. And not only they, you see all kinds of scientists that are. You go to the Bible, and God said, multiply, replenish the earth. And then you have all these people that are saying, we have too many people in the planet. We even go to Texas, and there's still so much Texas that's not populated, even though it's getting bigger all the time. And then you have nations that they're not having children anymore. Okay, Lydia, get out of there and come back. I'd rather go to the Bible for information than letting people get you all full of anxiety and worrying about we're going to destroy the planet. There's going to be one that will do that. And it will be Jesus one day. When, because he's going to create new heavens and new earth where our glorified bodies will be able to live. And we will not need the light of the sun anymore. The sun won't be there anymore because Jesus himself will light it. And there will not be any more night. And etc. But I'm not gonna get sidetracked. So anyway, glory, glory, glory. Rather read our Bibles and not join all of the hype and concern that's going on, and those that have no hope as found in the scripture. Amen. So let's go back here. Did we read 22 then already? Good. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So see, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise as the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, in other words, the redemption of our body. This is where some people get confused. The one thing is the redemption of our body. The other thing is redemption from the curse of the law. We have been redeemed from the power of sickness and disease over our bodies. But we've not been redeemed from our body aging in a healthy manner, but it is going to someday say enough. Amen. We are not promised in the Bible that this body, that we're going to live in these bodies forever. Amen. The Lord said from now on the limit of people is going to be 120 years. People quote Psalm 90. But that was people that were like the 70, 80 years old. But those were people that were in rebellion to the Lord. You see, we get limits. Again, you get to 70, no, you can't. Who says that? 70 gets younger every day. Honestly, it gets younger. It's like, I can understand now why Caleb said, give me the mountain when he was 80. Amen. Pardon me? 80 is looking pretty good now. Yeah. Tell Harv about it, right? He's going to be there pretty soon. But he's one of those Calebs, give me the mountain. He still goes on his motorcycle with his wife behind him. And they come to church from Ford. And they just went to California and back. And how many days did it take you to get to California? A day and a half. All right. All right then. Yeah. There's not many. They don't make a lot of people like him anymore. Anyway, so we're looking to the redemption of our body. That means with the body we will become immortal. Okay. All right. So we'll stop. We could read 25. But if we for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So that's what we're doing. That is the great hope, and we wait for it with joy. Amen? Because it's got to be. Because remember, don't be ignorant, we read in 1 Thessalonians, because if Jesus was raised from the dead, so are we. If we believe that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, we believe that, and that is what gave our salvation, then we ought to believe at the same time that we will as well, one day, our bodies will take on immortality. It's right there in the same scripture. You believe one thing, you believe the other. Amen? So let's finish now with 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to have to stop right there. Did you know, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 35. We'll read probably just that scripture and we'll stop there for another time. But that passage of 1 Corinthians 15, you can read it. And that way you get ahead and we can talk about it. But let me share these with you that I wrote that I thought was good to share. The human spirit, see, and that answers your question, Brenda, as well. The human spirit will actually become tangible and become a resurrection body. Boy, there's sure a lot of silence. I guess you're digesting it. The things of the spirit are tangible to the people that are truly spiritual. We're thinking right now through our finite mind and experience. You see, our body will not be natural, but it'll be tangible. Just like Jesus' body was after he was raised. He was able to say, touch here. Look at this. Remember? Hallelujah. So I have validation in scripture. And right here is where we get it. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Next scripture, please. Thou fool. The Bible says, you fool. Why are you having those types of questions? That which you sow is not quickened except it die. Let's go on the next scripture. And that which thou sowest not at that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may, is this the King James? I must have been reading another translation at home. No, but I mean at home, I must have read another translation. That which you sow, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. In other words, you sow just the grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, right? Those are that from, you can plant corn or you plant the seed, wheat or whatever. But then the next scripture, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Okay? All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Okay? Now, celestial bodies, that includes angels, you know, but also spirits of men. And it says, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. You understand that? You know, if you were to look at the stars and really see that, I mean, with our bare eyes, we can see that, but even more through proper instrumentation, that not all of them are the same. Did I read the whole scripture? Okay. Then, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So to tell you the truth, we could really say that when we bury our loved ones, we're sowing them. We're sowing their bodies. It says, so also is, okay, where were we? We were right here? Okay. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Glory to God. It is sown a natural body. Notice here, this is what I was talking about a while ago. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. Okay? And so, really, so it is written, yeah, we can read that. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And you can go on and read the whole thing, but to 44 is what I wanted to read. So sown a natural body, harvested a spiritual or supernatural body. Amen. So the answer to the question, you know, I've been asked, so are we really going to know each other in heaven? Yeah, they've been knowing each other since they started going there. Amen. It's just, we have to get off of, have you ever heard it said, if you've been part of this church for a time, you've heard it many times. Heaven, if we could put it, heaven is more real than the reality that we're seeing right now, if we could measure with, you know, with the right stick. But right now, we're limited to our understanding. These are things the Bible says don't be ignorant of. You know, and so praise God. If we believe that Jesus died and was raised, we also believe our bodies will one day be raised. Whether we're still here, you know, we believe, we have every reason to believe that we are the people that are going to be raptured and still be alive. At least majority of us. Amen. Glory to God. We believe in the rapture. We believe in the resurrection. We don't believe we're going to go through the tribulation. And that we can talk about some other time. If Brother Joe doesn't cover it. Amen. So I hope I'm not overlapping with Brother Joe. I don't think I am. I don't think I am. But if nothing else, it'll prepare us better to hear. Amen. So did that answer a question or two that maybe some of you may have had? Yeah. Or you don't want to admit it because you already know it all. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord is good. And even though you may have understood all those scriptures already, isn't it wonderful to go over them again? Amen. And enjoy what they mean to us. Our God is a supernatural God. He's a miracle worker. Amen. And he is awesome. He's amazing. And we have no reason to doubt him. We have no reason to doubt his capability. But if we will doubt his willingness, that means we do not know him. To say God is able, but to doubt that he will, is not to know him. Because if he is something more than anything else, is his love. Amen. And he sent his son to redeem us. So praise the Lord. Thank you for giving me a few more times so that we didn't have to end on another cliffhanger. Amen. You're also wonderful. That it's so great to be with you, that sometimes we forget we go over time. You have a wonderful rest of the week, and you come ready.